Sound On, Power On, your power electronics podcast, powered by PCIM Europe.
Hello and welcome to Sound On, Power On. I'm your host, David Hegarty, and in this episode I am talking to Jörg Latzel, who is the sales manager for Yokogawa Test and Measurement in Germany. Jörg started out as a telecommunications engineer with a focus first on antenna measurements and measurement instruments, then later product management for fiber optic test. He later moved into sales and support at Ando Electric for communication measurement solutions for the German market. In 1998, he moved to Yokogawa, initially in fiber optics measurements, then for more than the last 10 years, in his current role, which includes our topic for today, power measurements. Welcome, Jörg. Let's start with a short introduction to Yokogawa.
We are founded in Tokyo in 1915, and our focus, beside the measurement technology, is also on control. So a big part of Yokogawa is looking after, for example, chemical control or also power plants. We have data acquisition over months or years, and also the telecommunication is a part of us. And of course, all measurement technologies, including the power measurement. Still, we do progress on spectral measurement, on the optical spectrum measurement today. And our focus the recent 40 years was to improve measurement accuracy, resolution, and also focus on measurement data capture. Our main goal is to equip engineers with tools to make it possible to measure even small steps of improvement. So if you look at the measurement technologies, then we want users to be able to measure an efficiency improvement of just 0.5%, because it's important to understand if you got 0.5% better or if your latest development steps made it maybe even worse. And yeah, at the end we can say that the improvement steps can only be measured if your measurement instrument is good enough to realize this is an improvement. Yeah, that's Yokogawa.
And the power electronics test and measurement at Yokogawa, what's the history there? Where does that come from?
Yeah, in principle, the root of Yokogawa is based more in the energy measurement. So our founder, Mr. Yokogawa, developed the first energy measuring system. So in principle, an energy counter. So our roots going back to exactly this kind of measurement. We have been in the power analyzer world already since 40 and more years. So even before renewable energies came with a big boom in the power electronics, we have developed accurate integrative power meters. If today you enter Yokogawa power analyzers into Google, you will be able to find reports back to the early 70s in white papers or in technical reviews back to the late 70s. What was driving us since then is a close relation to our customers, to the users. So there, for example, in the time the solar energy had a real big boom, in that time we made seminars, we discussed directly on site with users how to use best, how to wire a power analyzer and how to get it connected. And that gave us the chance to directly get a feedback from the users, what else they need, how the user interface shall develop. Yeah, and of course, the increased capacity, so the increased presence of power devices, also in the electric motor inverter controlling. That's something that drove us since the early 90s then. During the early 90s, let you know that I was studying electronics with a focus on telecommunication. A professor was very keen on making us believing that switching power supplies will be the future. And yeah, today we can say he was right. But switching power supplies, and that's what that time was not visible, creating a lot of things beside only having an efficient power conversion. Switching power supplies using short pulses. We could call it, or today we call it, pulse width modulated signals. And if you use short pulses, and that's the challenge today everyone is confronted with, this challenge is that even we are talking about the ground wave at 50 hertz or 100 hertz, if you make it a pulse, it will have high frequency contents. So we cannot rely on the power measurement at 50 hertz only. We must be more broadband. And this is something Yokogawa was already considering from that period.
But it's not just a frequency challenge, it's a power challenge too. I mean, if you're using a 10 milliohm shunt resistor to make a measurement, even if you're testing a device rated at 22 kilowatts, an instantaneous water heater, for example, that's around 30 amps through that shunt resistor. So it has to handle energy of 30 watt hours.
Absolutely correct. And exactly that is what the developer of measurement solutions must consider. They must be aware. You will have to handle energy. And if you know that 30 watts for a small device will definitely heat it up, that means there will also be an influence on the resistance value. It means it may fluctuate. And that is why our solutions, our shunt resistors, do have a special design to treat this temperature. Our shunt resistors do have a design to dissipate heat. So the challenge is not to change the temperature too much, but to take it away, to remove the energy. And therefore, a special design like our larger shunt resistors, a coaxial design, the shunt resistors and power analyzers design is necessary. Yeah, and this is in principle the challenge we continue to work on and develop on our power analyzers further.
Would one way out of this be to use oscilloscopes rather than power analyzers?
Yes. So there are applications. A scope is a good fit too. We need to consider if he using an oscilloscope, we normally have to use a probe for the voltage as well as a probe for the current. And this is where the big difference is between a power analyzer and an oscilloscope. If you use a current probe, you know there is some inductivity. And if you use a differential probe, and you need to have this for one phase, because if you want to measure power, you need voltage on the one side, the current on the other side. And there is that these both probes are not in phase. If these are delivered and connected to your oscilloscope, these are not in phase. So such kind of measurement solutions do have some adjustment, some do an auto adjustment to put the current and the voltage in phase. But this need to be done in advance to the measurement. And if you just go there and say, I will use the oscilloscope to measure power, then if you don't consider there could be a skew between these both, then it will be very difficult to measure accurately any power. Yeah. So again, a power analyzer is ideal to measure full period, because the power is defined to be measured always over complete periods.
Okay, so what applications are you recommending that people use scopes for?
Yeah, so if people want to develop and improve the efficiency of switching circuits, they need to touch also the switching cycles, for example, of the SiC and GaN transistors. And to check these, an XY plot is very helpful of the current as well as, so XY voltage and current. It helps them to determine the safe operating area and to improve the current and the voltage driving the SiC and GaN transistors. And if you do these measurements with an oscilloscope, for example, the Yokogawa oscilloscopes, deliver a long history. If you have these with a long memory, you have a long history that is available, and you can make a statistical evaluation, for example, to find transients, how often transients are happening during the on-off switching cycle, or are there transients at all? And these, all the data, all these raw data are covered in the history memory, and even after the measurement, you can still use these data to evaluate, did something happen? Have there been any transients? And that's something an oscilloscope is good for, while, of course, also a power analyzer is recording these data, but it's not made for such kind of switching cycles. So for such kind of high dynamic, very short in milliseconds or microseconds changing power, there an oscilloscope fits really good for.
Okay. When you're measuring inrush currents, because that's the other issue with switching transients, how would you approach that?
Yeah. So if you look at this, we sometimes get this question, how do we measure this inrush current? And yes, why is it that important? In principle, years ago, to illuminate a room, we had to use 60 watts or 100 watts light bulb. Today, we are talking about, in smart home area, about light bulbs that have a continuous power of 5 watts, like that. But, and that's the point, like switching circuits, also these light bulbs are equipped mainly with a rectifier, with a flattening capacitor. And if you switch these on, there is a real high current because of the capacitor is charged. And this is creating, especially if you connect many of such light bulbs or switching circuits together, this is creating a very high pulse. And this inrush current suddenly appears with switching on this light. And depending on the switch you use, there can be some additional transients that influence back to the grid. And that's why it is important for not only for the developers, but also for the people at the end selling them, selling such kind of tools. They must be aware what is happening or what can happen if I switch this light on. So an inrush current can vary from switch to switch. Just imagine once you switched such light on and the capacitor is already charged, you have it off and then you switch it on immediately again, then the current is not as high. And all these processes under different conditions need to be evaluated. And there we have a special, let me call it, power scope available to measure such kind of quick change and a quick spike. So this information we need, and it is probably more imaginable if we continue with this example of the light bulbs. These light bulbs may have a continuous current of 50 milliamps. And just connect together 100 of these together. Then that means these 50 milliamps will cause a current of 5 amps under continuous driving, under continuous operation. But such kind of 50 milliamps continuous current using light bulb may end up, if it's switched off for the first time after, let's say, one day, with a spike of 5 amps. And if you take the 100 light bulbs connected together, for example, in a football stadium or wherever, and switch it on now, then from this continuous, like 5 amperes, you have a spike of around 500 amperes that may influence the circuit breaker it switches off. So that's why it is so important to measure these transients and inrush currents. But that cannot be done with an integrative solution.
And the power scope you mentioned here, that this was developed in response to the need for this, or is the power scope something that was in the portfolio anyway?
Yes, We had that in the portfolio in the very past, and we continued the developing. So today this model, and that will be presented also at the PSIM this year, the PowerScope is called PX8000. And yes, in fact, it is made for inrush currents, but also for high dynamic processes. So it could be if you have an entrance control with a barrier that is rising up and closing again. This is very short period the power is present or the power need to be measured. For such kind of tools, it's more the instantaneous measurement that need to be done. But if we are talking about inverters for fridges, for electric engines and such, there is a lower dynamic. Accelerating an electro vehicle or reducing the speed, this is what we call medium or low dynamic. That requires an integrative measurement.
But the ultimate thing is getting a precision measurement, an accurate measurement that's reliable.
Exactly. And that's what the majority of people is focusing on. The majority of processes like generating energy, electric energy from wind, or driving an electro vehicle, there the efficiency is very high. So the inverters, for example, in solar energy, they have an efficiency of 98%. And there it is about the long-term efficiency measurement. How efficient is such inverter? And that requires a real high accuracy.
And what's your approach to ensuring the precision of these measurements?
In fact, it goes really back to the special design of the shunts, because a current will be measured by the voltage that is created over the shunt resistor, and especially this design is important, and it need to be, and that's a fact we focus on with our special design. In fact, a shunt resistor should be low of resistance for such kind of current measurement, but a low resistance in principle means also it has a high inductance, and that's why we develop even a special design on that. So that's our key, and by this, and especially there is another thing that our users want to rely on, is that the stability over years must be good. And we discussed already the temperature influence on resistors, on shunt resistors. And this temperature, if a shunt resistor is getting warm, for example, then it will age. And this could mean that there is a change in resistance over the years or over the month of usage, especially at high currents. And that leads me again back to this high energy consumption with instantaneous heat. If such resistor or a shunt resistor is not well taken care of a heat sink, then your result will be unstable. So we have been confronted with the request to deliver a solution that can measure 30 amps over 4 hours. And there are solutions on the market that can not do that very well. It appears that not everyone is looking after this heat development in a shunt if it's connected to a high current. So if you have a 30 amps current signal, then of course your internal shunt resistor is warming up. And if you don't care, the resistance is changed, and then also the power measurement value will be changed. This is the special design of the shunt is the key technology we have to deliver stable results. And if even a higher accuracy than, because we are proud on having an power analyzer with a basic accuracy of 0.03%, and by a special aging process of shunt resistors, we are able to deliver a customized solution that is even having a higher basic accuracy than these 0.03%. And that's created by a special aging process of such kind of shunt resistors.
And a lot of this comes from the fact that you've been in this market for a long time.
Right, absolutely. That was driving us, yeah, since definitely the first electronic devices have been put on the market, this was driving us, yeah.
But apart from this long history, you need to be looking to new applications, sometimes before they are obvious. How can you be sure you understand the needs of the people using your equipment?
Having engineers from the development team going with us to customers, presenting solutions, discussing solutions, and also returning them back to the development and trying to resolve the demands that we heard from at the customer side. And discussing this with the experienced engineers and develop further. And what additionally helps us is that at the beginning we talked about workshops and seminars at customer side. We continue running these workshops and often our customers bringing their test devices. It can be a vacuum cleaner, it can be a tool, it can be a chainsaw, whatever you can imagine, battery-driven tools. And based on these, we discuss demands. And just having one example of a tool, this is a battery-driven tool, and this battery-driven tool had just very, very short wires to connect the engine from the battery to the to connect the battery with the engine. And there was in principle no chance to connect a sensor because the wire was so short, and it was connected not by a connector, it was welded. So this made us listening. What could be the solution? Yes, a solution can be a split core sensor, but that's something, that kind of information you get if you are in touch with customers. That helps together with experienced people, with young people that learned about the latest technologies, and also the connection to the customer. That's something that helps us developing tools towards the right direction.
Seeing the complexity of the measurement situations that are arising nowadays is also, I mean, it's not just one signal anymore. It's not just...
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Correct. And especially the development of new engines and controller of new electric engines, that is changing. There are three-phase solutions. There are six-phase electric engines under development. So a lot of things is going on depending on who is taking care. And yeah, for such kind of solutions, you need to have the right answer on the power analyzing tool. And with this development of the circuit technology, the motor control is really getting a bit more complex. And let's take an example, the WT5000. You can equip it with up to 7 channel inputs. And for example, that fits perfectly for an inverter measurement to manage three-phase input, then the DC intermediate channel, and the three-phase output. And of course, you can configure a WT5000 to fit also only for 7 channels, or you can sync more together to have even more channels measured. So that means with one instrument, you can measure up to 7 electric channels, so up to 7 phases. But as we are often used in the e-drives technology, you additionally have the chance to have the input for a direct torque for motor evaluation. So then simultaneously with one instrument, with one standalone instrument, of course it can be controlled remotely, but in principle you can use the instrument as standalone and measure and gather all the data for a full motor evaluation, including speed, torque, and all synchronized with the power measurement.
The challenge is today you're measuring hundreds or even thousands of amps. So So what are your thoughts on the different types of sensor technologies necessary to cover the full span?
Yeah, right. So until now, we discussed with the examples we had with the instantaneous water heater, we were talking about direct measurements. And if we are talking, for example, about charging progresses, high power charging, or about the powertrain, then we have to measure at least 1,000 amps or even more, 2,000. It can go up to 5,000 amps. And that cannot be measured directly. Our recommendation is to use ferroflux sensors, and we are working together with SignalTech that are LEM ferroflux sensors. And our recommendation in that case is to use ferroflux sensors that are current driven. So it means you have a wire put through the ferroflux sensor, and the ferroflux sensor is creating again a lower current that is connected to the power analyzer. There are solutions available that do transform the current by a ferroflux sensor to a voltage. And why do we experience issues with that? It's pretty easy. The inverters, as discussed, are creating pulse width modulated signals, or are driven by pulse width modulated signals, and that are mainly short pulses. And these short pulses, consisting of various frequencies, even high frequencies of a couple of kilohertz because of just the short pulse, and these frequencies can be received from a cable, for example, the cable that is connecting a sensor, a ferroflux sensor, to the power meter. And this influence is a voltage, so it's inducing a voltage into that cable. And as long as you really want to measure this voltage, you will have an influence, a disturbing influence in that power measurement. And that's why we know that a current measurement is much more safe versus the interference of the electromagnetic fields, of the fast-switching electromagnetic fields that are around in the environment of inverters. Because on the current, the influence is insignificant.
Looking to the future, do you think the market is now as developed as it's ever going to be? Or are there more innovations coming down the pipeline that you can see?
The hardware and the hardware development is here the key for the future. And we will continue improving resolution on one side and accuracy and stability on the other side. But if you take this example of the world's leading power meter that was made in, or that was launched in the year 2004, this instrument was kind of reference until 2016. And that indicates that was a period of more than 11 years before we launched then our latest flagship, the WT5000. So what we, of course, do is to improve the user interface, to listen to users, and to make it better. But our key is also the hardware. And we really are proud to have shunt resistors developed. We have measurement principles developed that are leading. And yes, we will continue this, but we do not expect every year a new product. It's more a longer life cycle in this area. If you are the highest accuracy, or if you have the highest accuracy in class, the next step shall be to be even more accurate. But that will take slightly longer than electronic development in the mass market.
And looking at the, because you're talking about the hardware, what about the software side of things?
Yeah, a colleague of mine referred to software eats hardware. And yeah, it's an interesting saying. And on the other side, it's garbage in, garbage out. You can only be as good as your hardware. It reminds me a bit to the period I was starting being a sales engineer. And I had the task to demonstrate an optical spectrum analyzer, including, of course, optic power measurement, to a group of students. And yeah, these students, as they are today, were honest and frank. And I put an instrument on the table with a floppy disk drive, and that was around 2013. And yeah, they were start laughing. What shall I do with a floppy disk drive in 2013? That time, floppy disks were still available, but we had an instrument put on the table, best in class optical resolution. But the hardware is the part that makes this resolution. Yes, the software is important. Many people are using a different kind of tools, including vibration measurement, what we can do as well, by the way. But people at the end need to decide based on what the physical factors are and what the physical accuracy is, because you will not be able to make a physical measurement more accurate by software. You can, of course, smooth, you can calculate, you can integrate by mathematical calculations, but at the end, the hardware is what counts, and that's what we take very serious.
And taking this seriously, because most of your development is done in, or most of your product development is done in Tokyo, how are you managing to keep the connection open then to the applications that are rising around the world?
Yeah, that's since I'm with the company, it has always been, and it continues to have a close connection. So we can get in touch with the development immediately if there is a high demand. And all the other cases, we have frequently visitors from the development team in Japan joining with us, visiting customers and understanding the application and feedback to the development team. And one thing that is very important in the international business, Yokogawa is doing the same for Europe, for US, for all continents, for all countries, and collecting the information and the demands. And a thing is that also our customers are working on an international base. Even if you buy a solution, a Yokogawa solution, for example, in Germany, and you want to use it for your test bench as international customer in China, and you experience some difficulties, there is no need to send the unit back to Germany where you purchased it. Even if it's a warranty repair, we have local service centers worldwide. And yeah, that makes the speech true. Think global and act local.
And then, of course, the immediate chance to interact with customers is going to be at the exhibition in June. So what are you planning to do there?
Yes. Yeah, so we will have all what we discussed. So means solutions for semiconductor devices, for inverters, for powertrains, for lighting, renewable energies, energy measurement. We will present solutions there. So all the instruments we have, we will have there in an environment. We can also show some measurements. For example, we will be able to see the inrush current measurement. And yeah, the PSIM is a good exhibition, including all specialists from our side, from customer side. And we are presenting at the PSIM now since more than 15 years. And yeah, it's always great to have this kind of information exchange between development people, between customers. And yeah, the PSIM, we concentrate on all these kind of power measurements.
Thank you very much, Jörg, for this fascinating look into some of the challenges of measuring power electronics. And I wish you a successful time at PCIM Europe 2024. If anything in this episode has sparked your interest, there are links to Yokogawa in the transcript.
And if you found this episode useful, please remember to subscribe for future episodes. And if you think this episode or the podcast itself would be of interest to anybody you know, please do share it. For Sound On, Power On and the PCIM Europe, I'm David Hegarty, and I look forward to our next episode.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of Sound On, Power On, powered by PCIM Europe. Do subscribe and share.